Jay Pizzy, Mosier on the beat. Look at my team, ay. Look at the ring, whoa. See what I mean, ay. You see what I mean? Look at my team, look at the ring, everything. This is a dream, all but a dream. This ain't a dream, I am a fiend for the cream, go. DTC and I beat these teams and it make me feel alright.
Alright.
DTC and I beat these teams and it make me feel alright.
Alright.
See, I calculate. Yeah, y'all just palpitate. Whoa, if you don't calculate, get it? Get it? Calculate. Lady Justice is illustrious. I just love this. I can put this in this function and it turns up into something. And that something came from nothing. And I sold it for a button. Now I got this lovely lump sum. Guess I'll burn these bumps like buzzing, bro.
Welcome to the Dynasty Trade Calculator Podcast, a show dedicated to Dynasty fantasy football trades and player values, with your hosts, John Paul Hurley and Izzy Elkafoss.
This ain't a dream, I am a fiend.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Dynasty Trade Calculator Podcast. This is episode number 206. This is going to be a fun show, so we got a one-round rookie mock. We might jump into two, well, it just depends on how much time we got here. The cool thing about this is we never have guests, but today is an exception because it's a special week. It's a special day. We've got a bunch of guests, so let me get into the host here quick. I'm your host, JP John Paul John Hurley. Joining me, co-host Izzy. What's up, Izzy?
What up? What's going on? Just taking up from my nap.
You were up all night just making sure that things are good on the website, right, for our users and our subscribers. That's what's going on. Not Call of Duty Warzone.
Nope.
Not getting ready for a new house, right?
Nope.
None of those things.
Just the website for you guys.
Also joining this week, Nick. What's up, Nick?
Hi.
Football season's over. You were saying pre-podcast. You're an excited man, right? High school football season.
Well, first off, shout out to any of my boys if they're listening. Our team went 4-1, so I'm really proud of them. No playoffs, but we did really well. We were up, 32-6, I think, at one point in the last game. So we really crushed it. And then with all my extra time, I decided to get a puppy. So if you follow me on Twitter, it's now a puppy account with maybe a little bit of football sprinkled in. But, you know, no one's going to be mad about that.
You got your work cut out for you.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I'm tired, but Izzy looks tired. You know what I mean? So I would rather not look it. And he definitely looks it right now.
Yeah, he definitely looks tired. By the way, what did you name your puppy Fields?
Right now I'm settled on Fields, obviously, because it's destiny. I get a puppy the day after Chicago makes a good pick for the first time, I think, in my lifetime. So yeah, it's destiny.
You can name him Destiny. Have him be a stripper.
Or just call it Child, because everyone likes that group.
Oh yeah.
Oh, hey Child. I like that. Destiny's Child.
Child. Just call him Child.
Let's get into the guests. This, like I said, this is a special week. This is an all DTC guest list, by the way. We've got guys from Dynasty Time Machine. I'm just going to start with it. So John Bosch, I should say Dynasty Time Machine, but you also do Dynasty Panic Room, Dynasty Wall Street, probably like five other podcasts that begin with Dynasty. What's up, Bosch?
Not five others. Not much. Thanks for having me on. I'm looking forward to this. I haven't really done a mock yet since the draft ended, so I'm curious to see how this plays out. I'm hoping we can manage to get the two rounds because that's kind of where it gets really interesting. When it goes way downhill.
I agree. Welcome to the show, Bosch. Also joining us from Dynasty Dads Podcast, a long-term Dynasty Trade Calculator podcast on the channel, Mr. Matt Renshaw. What's up, Matt?
What's up, guys? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. You seem like you're a little bit more awake than Izzy, but...
Well, I've been up since 7. I mean, three little kids will do that to you. Been outside playing around, getting that heart rate up.
Were you the one playing around, Matt?
I got on the swing for a little bit. It holds a 230-pound man, so yeah.
There you go.
So you can't get on it.
What was that?
Oh, got it.
So you can't get on it. He said,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
God, Renshaw. No. You look thin. You look thin.
That's impressive, though. I'm also a swinger.
The fit club.
I'm also a swinger, Matt, just to throw that out there. So I swing too.
Yeah, that's good.
Also joining us this week from Dynasty Time Machine Podcast, Mr. Bob Gilchrist. What's up, Bob?
Not much. How's it going? Thanks for having me.
Phenomenal. What do I see in the background of your feed? Is that a fireplace?
Yes. I'm in my basement. There is a fireplace in my basement.
That's important because it's a brick fireplace, and Bob's been laying bricks to your Dynasty teams for a long time now. And we got a few more to lay this week because, like I said, we're going to do a quick Dynasty mock. One round, we're going to try to get to two. I went the lazy route. I'm doing the first overall pick. It's a 12-team PPR Superflex. Since there's six of us on the podcast, each of us will pick twice. And like I said, if we get to two rounds, awesome. If not, what are you going to do about it, right? What are you going to do about it? So starting things off with the first overall pick in the DTC rookie mock post draft, I'm gonna select Amon-Ra St. Brown. I'm just kidding. I know that get Izzy. I'm trying to wake up Izzy here. Izzy probably didn't even hear that. I'm gonna go Trevor Lawrence. The reason is obvious. So we're gonna skip over all of the context here. Trevor Lawrence, touchdown Jesus, right? We got to change his name in our Minnesota made. Izzy built him in because it's a Devy league, and you can customize the players' names when you build them in, and he's still named Touchdown Jesus inside of our league. So we got to change that back.
It works.
With the second overall pick, Nicholas Whalen. Nick, what do you got?
I'm going to take the gimme here, which is Justin Fields. With the running and passing options. I have a stat for you because I think a lot of people have Trey Lance here as the second because everyone and their mother is in love with Kyle Shanahan. Kyle Shanahan has had one season out of his 13 of being OC and head coach of 30 touchdown passes or more, which is probably a lot less than everyone thinks with the BD guru. So I think, and I'm also a little bit more down on Trey Lance, so that makes it easy. I do like the landing spot and weapons that Wilson has, but Fields has the ceiling, and we know he went to the best team ever. So,
I do have a really quick strategic question for you, Waylon. This pertains to mocking, actually, or actually drafting in your rookie drafts. Last year, and some of my friends agree with me too, but I really wanted to take Justin Jefferson in a couple spots, but it felt like, you know, 108, 109, even like getting close to the second round. And I went Ruggs because I thought that he just consensus was the higher pick. And the reason I didn't go Justin Jefferson, I didn't want to feel like a homer. I live in Minnesota. I'm a Vikings fan, and I felt like my love for Jefferson might have been biased. At what point do you think that it's bias versus actually taking a strategic pick?
I certainly get that. I mean, you're saying because I'm a Bears fan and I'm naming my dog Fields that's influencing this pick.
And you're like, your girlfriend's name is Justina.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Everything is in line there. No, I think it's our bias in general, whether it goes to the team that we are on or, you know, our favorite team or our rankings is a big factor here. But considering how close these quarterbacks are and a lot of people had Fields too, I just don't feel like that is a lot of homerism here.
So it's enough to cover the gap if there was one.
What if Lance went to Chicago and Fields went to San Fran?
I still would not have Trey Lance would still be my fourth best quarterback.
Okay. Who would you take at 102 if that was the case?
If that was the case, it probably still would be Fields and then Wilson. Yeah, just because of the rushing upside. I really like Wilson a lot. And plus they got Elijah Moore, who I like a lot. But I think, I just think the Shanahan thing is getting into people's heads way too much.
There you go.
But you'd still take Fields if he was with Shanahan.
Because Fields is way better than Trey Lance.
Gotcha. Cool. But isn't Wilson like your wide receiver QB2?
In the NFL, yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
There you go. Izzy, 103, who do you got?
Yeah, I'll take Trey Lance at 103. I think I'm not very high. I'm not a big Wilson guy, so I wouldn't take him there. Mac, it's too early for Mac. So, and everybody knows me. I'll take the quarterbacks over the running backs and receivers. So. I think it's go Lance by default. If Nick didn't go Lance, or if Nick would have went Lance somehow, I would have went Fields. So I'll take who I feel is the 103, 102. I think it's pretty close between the two of them. So happy to get either one.
Oh, this is interesting. Yeah, so three quarterbacks to start it out. I'm my rankings are a little bit different than what we're going so far here, but this will be fun.
I've done one draft and it went Lawrence, Lance, Fields. I took Fields at 103 and I took, I won't spoil 104, but.
I think these are the three we're going to see most commonly right at the top of Superflex. It makes sense. I mean,
I think the draft really starts at four.
Yeah. This is where things diverge.
And that's why we have Bob Gilchrist picking at 104. Bob, you're up, man. Who do you take?
I mean, obviously
he's
it's going to be
so
more...
let's be honest. He's a Pats fan.
Oh,
yes, but it's going to be it's really, you're looking at team dependent at that point, right? If you need a quarterback, then you're obviously going to take one.
You need everything, Bob. You need everything on this team.
I really want to take Kyle Pitts here.
Damn you. I was trying to convince you to not take him so that I could get him. But whatever.
The dude's a freak. I mean, he's going to be phenomenal. He's got a great landing spot, a very veteran quarterback that will take advantage of him out there, and he's not going to be double teamed because they have Julio, they have Calvin Ridley. I mean, he's going to get receptions this year. I think it's the perfect landing spot for him.
I think the question in everybody's minds is, everybody thinks he'll be phenomenal, but at what point will he become phenomenal? Like, will he require the same amount of time to break out like tight ends usually do, or do you expect that to be pretty immediate?
In my opinion, I think maybe half a season. I think once he gets his feet on the ground, I don't think there's anything that's going to stop this kid. I mean, he's 6'6", he's 245, he's a monster.
Interestingly, I'm in a analyst league, and I have 103, 104, 108, 110, and the first three in the second, and not a single person had wanted to move up to 103 or 104 in a Superflex tight end premium league. And wow. Nobody's chomping at 108 or 110. So nobody wants to move up to get these guys in this league specifically. So I don't know if it's like that in all the leagues, but I did end up taking Pitts in a premium league at 104. But I'm surprised that nobody wanted to move up to 103, 104, because I think it's a clear three. And then I think in premium, I don't want to say it's clear, but I think for most people it's a clear Pitts at four in premium. But I don't know. I'm surprised by it.
This is kind of a question for each of you, like anybody that wants to jump in and answer. But if you're set at quarterback, at what point in this draft do you get Kyle Pitts? What's the earliest pick you'd take him at if you're set at quarterback?
It's where Bob just
104.
Yeah, four.
Yeah. Even if I'm set at quarterback, I'm still taking Lawrence Fields and Lance. And I freaking love Pitts. Like
I thought Izzy, he was your 101.
In non-Superflex, for sure.
Oh, yes. Gotcha.
He's my first non-QB, yeah. But Superflex, I'm not an idiot. I'm taking the top three quarterbacks.
Yeah,
the other ones I'm not super trade. Sold on, so.
Nick's just smirking over there thinking, like, why is Lance in your top three? But
well, we had this conversation last week. Me and Izzy, I think, are very different than you three. Pitts wouldn't even be my number one. Non-Superflex, but even here, I would go quarterback and maybe quarterback again, because Pitts has to be Kittle, Waller, or Kelsey to justify this pick.
Yeah,
and we can at this point, remember, every rookie's going to hit. We love all the upside of all of it, but there's always a downside of, you know, Jared Cook was super athletic coming out of South Carolina, Ebron, OJ Howard, et cetera, et cetera. I like Pitts a lot, and I think he's more talented, but he has to be that level. If he's a mid to low tight end one, it's not worth this pick.
I got burned so hard by Ebron. Oh,
I think he's a top tight end. I don't think tight end is a hard bar to climb. Like, that's a hard ladder to climb. It's pretty easy. You're right. It's Waller, Kittle, Kelsey, and that's it at tight end. That's why I think Pitts is the top, because he's your chance to get a dominant. Like, the other positions, not talking about quarterback, but when we talk about the other position players, I don't think any of them have really the upside to be the dominant player. And Izzy, that's probably why nobody's looking to trade up, because everybody else is, I mean, like, even the running backs that we have this year, they're not the same as running backs we've had in the past. Not one of them really stands out, at least to me, as being like super clear, this guy's a smash, going to be an RB1 for years to come. Probably have some RB1 games, you know, but they don't feel like they're going to reach that CMC level. I don't get that from the running backs, and I think that's probably why people aren't eager to trade up right now.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, Bosh, so you're a Pitts lover, right?
Yep.
So let's go back a couple of years. Let's say Miles Sanders, after his rookie year, ranked probably fairly high, right, and didn't show a ton, but showed enough. Could you trade him straight up for Kelsey after that year?
Could you trade Miles Sanders for Kelsey?
Not now, easily. But 2 years ago,
after
or right
his
now.
Rookie year, DeAndre Swift, I don't know. I
mean, Cam Akers.
Yeah, all those guys. Yes, the answer is yes.
So, okay. So to me, it's positional. I mean, that's to me. I think that you could take Najee here if you like, or Chase or whatever, and I think you could flip four Pitts after a year or two.
Izzy and I have had this discussion a lot. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think the people that invest in Pitts.
But it didn't. What he's saying is it didn't happen with Kelsey. Like Kelsey has been the clear top tight end with Kittle. Let's say Kittle and Kelsey up there when they're both healthy. What Nick is saying is that even if a running back doesn't go bonkers, like Miles Sanders didn't have a monster rookie season. Cam Akers didn't come on until the playoffs. DeAndre Swift was a backup for the first half of the season. And all three of those guys, you know, so Cam Akers and DeAndre Swift, even in Kelsey's prime years, you could get Kelsey for those two players in most leagues, not all leagues, most leagues. And same thing with Miles Sanders a couple years ago. And so it's like you don't even need to have a running back that goes crazy to flip him for the top tight end is what Nick's point is.
I don't know if I agree with that. That's the thing. Like when ADP, I'm very curious what ADP is going to look like for startups next year. Because I honestly, God, do think Pitts will be like a round one, very early round two. And I think he will be above. I think he'll be above these running backs. I think he'll be above Harris, EDN, Javonte, whichever. That's pretty much it. I think Pitts will be taken above all three of those in startups next year.
Is Pitts your tight end? Is Pitts your tight end four?
Me?
I think he's his tight end two.
Wow.
Yeah. I think he's my two.
Okay.
Wow. Because there is nobody at that position. And honestly, I'm real close to putting him to one. because there's nobody at that position that has the upside that he does from a value standpoint. And I know I sound crazy, but literally if he has one good touch, if he has a highlight touchdown, like you're going to be able to sell Kyle Pitts immediately for the farm. Like people will go crazy. Kelsey doesn't have the upside to bring that ever again because he's old. Kittle, I don't think has that upside to bring that ever again because he gets hurt frequently, it feels like. And Waller is also older, you know? So I think that's the top four at tight end right now in dynasty value wise. And the only one that has the explosion possibility is Pitts. Like he could just skyrocket in ways that I don't think we have seen a tight end. I didn't play Dynasty when Gronk was like in his prime. That's why you might have been the one I asked. I was like, what was Gronk like when he was like a round one startup pick? Like what was the feeling around him? Because
greatest ever. You're betting on greatest ever.
But it's not going to take much for everybody for people to buy in for that. It won't take much for him to show this year. And I'm not kidding. We saw what happened with, like, remember Amiri Abdullah's preseason touchdown? And all of a sudden people went nuts for him. And like, oh my God, we've got Amiri Abdullah. It doesn't take much for people to respond when he's really good. It doesn't take much for people to really go over the moon.
I think you bring up a good point with that. I think that's definitely an angle that makes sense. But you can say that with a lot of players. But yeah. I think with Pitts, because his
the hype we is there.
Yeah, yeah, I can see that. Yeah, I can respect that.
What do Matt and Bob think? I'm curious.
He's not above Kelsey, Kittle, Waller for me. I think I'm in the majority there. Sorry, John.
I don't mind being different.
I think his situation plays into it too. I mean, you got a lot of mouths to feed in Atlanta. Kelsey in Kansas City is the two, maybe one. Waller's the number one option in Oakland. It's just situational different. I don't hate the pick at four, but he's definitely not my tight end one. Unless you're drafting one of the top three early, it doesn't matter. So could Pitts become the top one? Sure, but I'm always waiting until the end of the draft to pick up a tight end that'll end up in the top 12 anyway.
See, but there's a huge difference between in the top 12 and dominant at the tight end position. Like I used to play it that exact same way. I would just have three or four whatever crappy tight ends, and I would just put in one base. I would stream my tight ends, even in Dynasty, like I streamed them. And every week I get, you know, okay, I get 7, 8, 9, 10 points, which ends up being a tight end 1 week. That is very different when all of a sudden then you start slotting Kelsey into your lineups and you're getting like 20 to 25 points out of your freaking tight end spot. Like that makes your lineup, it makes your lineup a whole lot harder to beat. So
and you think Pitts is going to do that year one?
I don't think, no, I am not one of those people who projects him to have like an all-time great rookie season. But that's the beautiful thing about tight end. I don't think anybody should expect it. So I think he kind of almost gets a free pass, even if he has a bad year. He's not going to have a bad, bad year unless he gets hurt or something. He's going to get at least one or two catches a game, you know, and he's going to catch some yards. You said that there's other targets. We all know Julio doesn't score touchdowns. So when they get down near that end zone, they're probably going to look for Pitts.
Mike Davis. Like,
I would not be shocked if he ends up being Mike Davis. Yeah, that's right. They've got their heavily invested running game too. I wouldn't be surprised if Pitts gets a really good amount of targets in that red zone.
Like, all right.
How could you not use him?
Thoughts from Bob, and then we'll move on to the next pick here.
Of course, Pitts was going to be the long conversation.
I'm more with the consensus. I'm taking those three and then Pitts. I mean, as much as I like him, I need to see it on the field a little bit to put him above any one of them.
There you have it. Quick and concise. Love it. Okay, picking at 105, Matt Renshaw. Again, this is where things start to get interesting.
I'm going to lean a little bit towards Nick here. I'm going to take Zach Wilson at 5, super flex quarterback. He is the week one starter in New York. Matt, you don't know what Mac's going to be. Maybe he starts, maybe he doesn't. He's got weapons. They're not great weapons, but he's got good weapons. It seems like they're building around him like they wouldn't do for Darnold. I'm taking Zach Wilson at 5.
Love it. Thoughts?
I like his weapons. I mean, I like the Denzel Mims. I mean, obviously, like Corey Davis, if anyone knows me. I like Elijah Moore. They just got Michael Carter, who's a nice little pass catcher. I mean, that's – and again, like we think like it's the same old Jets. It's a different coach. My goodness, everybody. Like, you know, you could say the same old Patriots, sure, because Bill Belichick's still there. This is a whole new guy, and they've brought in new talent because it's a new coach. So, you know, you can't keep – and again, that's that bias you talked about, JP. Like, we can't keep the Jets bias in there. And plus, Wilson's got that swag, and this is super flex. So, yeah, I'm with you, Matt.
So I'll keep my Jets bias hate because – it's always a new coach. This isn't the first time they've brought in a new coach. Has it worked the last 8 times they've changed coaching staffs? Like, it's an organizational thing. It's not just because they changed the coaching staff doesn't mean they changed the organization. So for me, like, yes, it's a new coach and maybe this one will work. But until they show me that they can actually do something as the Jets, I just don't trust them with any player. They straight up ruin players as an organization. Maybe it's a new coaching staff. Maybe this is the right one, but the last however many times they've gone through this. So I don't think we can just say, well, they brought in a new coaching staff. This is the time it's going to happen because it hasn't for how many times have they changed coaches over the last, I don't know, 10 years or so?
It 27.
Like the one thing that's consistent is the same owner. So
yes.
And that's where it all goes back to.
Common denominator.
Organization from top to bottom. Certain ones are just bad.
Do you hate the Browns too? Because I feel like the Jets, like Nick said, like it's a new coaching staff, it's a new this, it's new that. We had that bias towards the Browns. I mean, the Browns, they're the same old Browns. Well, right. They're a playoff Browns, and they're a pretty good team right now. Their draft was one of the better ones, I think.
Yeah, I think the point.
I was definitely against them until they started to show it. Again, I'm a former Bengals fan, so I'm probably very bitter against bad organizations. It takes a lot for me to actually start trusting an organization that's just bad at the top.
Trust issues.
It's similar. The Jets situation is similar to the Pitt situation at tight end, where Nick believes the Jets will turn it around because they have a new coaching staff and all these new weapons. And John thinks it's an organizational thing, so he needs to see it before he believes it. It's the same thing with Pitts as a tight end being drafted that highly. It's like, well, there hasn't been that something we can fall back on and say, this is the track record we have. Like, look at the track record. It's been shit every time you take a tight end early. John is betting that Pitts is going to change that, just the way that Nick believes that Wilson and these weapons are going to change the Jets. So it's the same thing, but it's funny that you guys have different philosophies. Where John wants to see it with the organization, but it doesn't care about the pit situation, and vice versa with Nick. But that's the beauty of this whole thing.
I'll gamble on players, but organizations are. They're pretty locked and set. They tell you what they want.
How often does an owner sell his team? Or do we expect that every 5 years? So then no one's going to turn around a team ever until an owner sells it every 30 years? Come on.
How many teams turn around? I mean, look at it. Like, the Browns is the example everybody jumps to because they're the most recent. Buffalo did improve. They got Josh Allen, who, like, he's a stud.
They changed owners.
Oh, they did? that's hilarious. But I mean, like so many of the teams in the NFL, I know everybody loves to talk about parity. We had one team in particular that dominated the NFL. Now there's only a couple other ones that really compete. I mean, I don't think a lot of teams do turn it around. They don't have the motivation to. They make plenty of money without having to turn it around. Like, they just don't. A lot of organizations don't really care to really turn it around. It doesn't seem
right. Detroit Lions haven't.
Did Tampa get a new owner?
I'm not sure about Tampa. I know Detroit hasn't.
I mean, bad teams stay bad, usually in the NFL.
Yeah, Tampa's a great example. I think bad teams stay bad could be a recency point of view, because there's plenty along the course of history. Like, how long were the Colts bad for until they got Peyton Manning?
You're going way exactly. back, yes.
Well, I'm old, so, you know, I got a lot of examples.
I think Bosch's point is, that's Bosch's point. Everybody that we point to has that elite tight quarterback that's propelled them. So I don't think Bosch is projecting Wilson to be that guy, where Nick might feel that way.
I think it's all the talent.
I just think in a super flex league, like, there's at least hope.
And you don't have to wait for it.
At this point.
A new hope.
No.
That's all you need. Well, we have Bosch, you're up for two picks here. You're picking at the turn.
I get a pick too. All right. Well, that makes it real easy, because I wasn't sure which way I was going to go if I only got one pick. But if I get a snake around, then, I mean, my next two picks are pretty clear. It's Mac Jones and Ja'Marr Chase, whichever way you want to take them. One, I will take the quarterback, even though I'm not like a huge Mac Jones fan. He's the quarterback, and he's only got Cam Newton in front of him. If Cam Newton's even in front of him. So obviously you take the quarterback in Superflex. He's the last quarterback that I have significant interest in, so I would much rather lock him up. Chase, I think, is the one position player other than Pitts that has the upside of being top tier elite at his position. I like Chase a lot. It's going to be really interesting to see exactly what the Bengals do now that they have Higgins and Chase. Makes me want all the Joe Burrow, but those are my two picks. We'll go Chase and Mac Jones. If I had to pick one, it was going to be tough. I was probably going to go Chase.
There you go.
Over the quarterback.
They got Tyler Boyd too. So
Yes, I know. Like, he's almost forgotten about. It's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, to get to your point about taking Mac Jones, Cam Newton might not be here. Obviously I'm a Patriots fan, so I'm sorry if I used here. But
just go with we, Bob. Committed... Just call him we. Just say we.
We?
He?
Yeah. Yeah.
We. No,
here.
We.
Here.
No, like your friend, like a French painter.
No, we as in we are the Patriots. Like, you're part of that team, right? We.
Yes. Well, we are the. So there's a good chance that Cam Newton does not start the season on the team. They're only committed $5 million of dead cap money, and they were, I believe, top three in most cap space this year. So for them to cut him, it really would be insignificant. They don't want to. If they're going to start Mac Jones, they're not going to have Cam sitting behind him. That's just going to be a media problem.
Yeah, that's bad. So that's Bosch's two picks. Now back up on the clock at 108. Matt Renshaw, who do you got at 108?
Harris, this is easy.
Does anybody have another wide receiver? Like, Chase is everybody's number one wide receiver, right? Like,
that's
Hands down, easy, right?
Landing spot solidified everything.
Yeah. Sorry to interrupt. Just wanted to make sure that nobody dissented on that.
By the way, I like that you brought that up, because I do think that's interesting for Burrow. Izzy, you were tweeting during the draft also I think an offensive lineman would have been probably the most beneficial for Burrow, obviously, given the situation. But like Chase, I think from a dynasty value standpoint, might be the biggest spike for him. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I think they should have taken the tackle. They should have taken Penei Sewell for just you have protecting your investment from last year by protecting him on the field. I just thought it was a terrible pick, but it's a great pick.
On paper, it's good for Burrow.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird because if they would have drafted Sewell, I would want more Burrow shares. The fact that they drafted Chase, I want less. And a lot of it has to do with the cost premium. He now gets a little bit of a bump with Chase there. And honestly, I think he'd be more successful long term with an anchor at.
Yep.
On the line. So.
Well, it would have helped Joe Mixon, too. I mean, yeah. And plus now T. Higgins took the biggest hit of everybody because thought he was going to be the wide receiver one there. And now he's the two. And Tyler Boyd is so consistent. I mean, call him Jarvis Landry, whatever you want to do. And now it's like, how does that pie get split up?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. We're looking at a similar situation to the Cowboys. Chase is going to go way too high in rookie drafts, even though he's a great player. And he is the wide receiver one almost by default. But this is probably a future thing with Boyd maybe being gone at some point in time. I don't know when his contract comes up, but I believe they locked him up a couple years ago.
I think he's like around $10 million for like the next 3 years, which is super cheap.
Yeah. So it's like, yeah. So, yeah. So I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do, but it's not Burrow's going to have to, you know, loosen that arm up. He's going to have to chuck that thing around to get these guys anywhere near their value.
And fast. He's going to have to get rid of it fast.
Yeah, and fast. Yeah.
Yeah, he's just going to have to wear whatever the chastity belt equivalent for his knees are, he's going to have to wear those.
Which is interesting because Chase is most dominant down the field. And as we saw last year, Burrow did not have the time to throw the ball down the field. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how this all works for Chase and Burrow, but...
You just throw it up in the air. You just throw it higher then. Yeah. Anticipate.
Maybe they plan to line up their long snapper at center and just have Burrow, you know, a good 12 yards behind the line of scrimmage. Buys him an extra half a second, then he can get rid of it, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if everybody's coming at him. All he's got to do is get it off.
So they can actually... They can cut Boyd. He signed his contract in 2019.
They won't cut him. He's too good.
But it's only a $4 million cap hit this year. It's a $2 million cap hit next year. And it's only a $1 million cap hit
in
2023. So, and he'll be 29 at that point.
But what is the contract, though? How much does he cost each year?
So it's about $10 million every year. He signed a four-year $40 million.
My memory. I have a good memory.
Yeah,
I think these things are out. But guys, Matt, who are you taking at 108?
I'm taking Harris. It seems like the obvious draft pick that was during the draft. You know, we knew we had Lawrence going one. You knew you had Wilson going two. You knew you had Pittsburgh taking Harris. They seem committed to the guy. He'll get the carries. That backfield is wide open. It's all his. He'll eat. The offensive line is questionable, but in this position, you're getting the RB1. There's no one to share it with, and they're going to run it back. Pittsburgh's going to try and win it this year. I think it'll be a big part of it.
What happens to Connor, by the way? Is he, like, gone?
Connor's in Arizona.
He signed in Arizona.
So he's gone, yeah. So all they had left was, who'd they have left?
Benny Snell and McFarland.
Snell and McFarland. Yeah.
They have Harris. Harris should get volume.
He'll get volume, but I don't have him as my RB1.
You Williams? Ooh. You Williams guy?
Yeah.
I got ETN.
Oh.
I knew it was going to break Bob's heart.
So here we go.
I have Harris as my one. Just plugging it.
Well, I mean, that would be consensus, but let's have a little chat on it. So last year, line-adjusted yards for rushing, Pittsburgh was dead last at 32, and they only have one of those starters returning. I'm sorry, there's two starters returning. One's DeCastro, who you're like, hey, he's a stud. He was hurt a lot of last year, and he's getting up there in age. They brought back a undrafted free agent guy. He's the only guy they could have at center. Hopefully Green, the third-round pick, maybe could play there. Their left guard is okay. Their tackles are ungood. I mean, and that is remember we were frustrated with Jonathan Taylor starting off slow, everyone else starting off slow. That's, I mean, the volume could be there. And again, maybe that's okay for fantasy, but when we have these super inefficient running backs, I mean, remember with Jonathan Taylor, he's a bust. Don't we remember that? What do you think is going to happen in Pittsburgh?
Who? I know one guy that called him a bust. But were people selling Taylor? Like,
Yeah, for 6 weeks.
Yep. I mean, Pittsburgh's adjusted line was like 3.12. Now, again, I like Najee Harris.
You don't like situation.
But again, it's going to be short passing, right? And they have a lot of guys that are good in short passing situations. And they got Freiermuth, right, who another potential target. I'm just saying, I'm making a case. I mean, and then ETN, who is my one, they were 10th, the Jaguars, in adjusted line. And they got a guy in the second round, which means they could kick Cam Robinson inside and put him at tackle, which improves the line even more, potentially. And his quarterback, you know, talk about quarterback, is Big Ben even there long-term? Then it's what Mason Rudolph and holding no safeties back.
Dwayne Haskins.
And that box is going to be full.
Oh, they won't stick with Mason Rudolph.
Yeah, Haskins, yeah. So I'm just saying, like, painting this picture of, you know, I know we're like, hey, just get all these touches, which, yes, in fantasy, that's good. But if the efficiency isn't there or other things, should he be the RB1?
I think it's a good point.
I think it goes back to the organization, right, Bosch? They always find a way to make the running backs work.
They do. Pittsburgh really does. Yeah. You know, it's hard to argue with a running back from Pittsburgh because usually they do pretty well. Last year, not so great, but that team was just a disaster. Had the toe last year, so that seems to be the exception, not the rule.
That's surprising that John is okay on Najee because he's almost 26. John,
I know he is old. That's why he's in a tier with somebody else for me. Because I have Harris 1, ETN 2, but like I told what I explained on Twitter yesterday is I'll probably just want an even amount of them across all my teams. Like even if I have the first pick if they're both there on my first pick, if I just took Harris in a draft, I'll probably take ETN this time. You know, like I'll probably flip flop back and forth because I think they both have the same. I'm not going all in on either one of them at the expense of not having some of the other one is what it.
He is 23. That's correct. Izzy and I, the three of us were plugging in new players that we hadn't accounted for, like, you know, seventh rounders in the draft into the calculator database. So that way people can select them. There was a wide receiver that was like, we were trying to find his birth date and he was showing up as he was 84 years old.
67. It was, Mike Strachan, I think his name is. I don't even know who that is. Do you know who that Mike Strachan? Do you know who that is?
Marquez Stevenson?
No, it's Mike Strachan, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, and he shows up as a 67-year-old running back.
Yeah, so he's not going to have a long career.
But the picture of Mike Strachan is on there.
What's I want to see that 86 life? Or 67-year-old picture.
Yeah, it's not good.
How many carries did he have in college?
I don't know.
It's not good. The only thing he's carrying right now is his walker. Sorry, Mike. So anyway, we got on to the next pick here. Najee Harris goes at 108. Bob, you're up at 109.
Oh, I'm curious. This is going to be fun.
All right. So for me, I have to hedge my bets and take ETN here because I am way overexposed on James Robinson, and that's going to be my only safety net.
Oh, Bob. No. You were one of those. You were one of those, Bob.
Yeah.
Don't go where I can't follow.
He is one of those. I will say, Bob didn't get as upset as some people got when I started talking about ETN.
You know what's interesting about this James Robbins thing is like I just don't understand why people keep doing this. Like you had the opportunity, even if James Robinson is the guy. Let's say they didn't draft anybody. You had the opportunity to cash out for mid-first round value at some point. And you knew a new coach, Trevor Lawrence, massive cap space, and a ton of draft picks was on the table. And we still, so many people still ignored it. Like, it's not like we're forcing you to sell for nothing. You can still cash out and get a lot and hedge that bet. You're still cashing out on an undrafted free agent that you picked up on waivers and you're getting a first round pick and you don't have to worry about holding the bag. And you guess what? You trade him for the 108. You can replace him with ATN or another running back in the draft. And you get that equity. And let's say they don't draft anybody. What's he worth? The 105, 106 maybe? So like you really, the upside to holding on to James Robinson this whole time was probably two draft picks. The downside is massive. The downside is like 20 draft picks.
Let's hear it from the horse's mouth. What's the reasoning?
My defense, I did try to move him in quite a few leagues, and I was not getting anything higher than like the 202, 204.
It was probably too late, right?
Well,
this was before the draft.
Yeah, but I'm saying like as the draft was approaching, people were less like draft picks increase in value.
Right.
And
I mean, all those teams that he's on were competing last year, so I couldn't move him in season. Yeah. I needed him at that point. And then most of my leagues obviously has a lot of industry people in it, so they were all ahead of it. So yeah. There was no moving it for me. I was stuck with it.
Yeah.
So I just doubled down on it and just kept going.
Well, you know, if his value is down to like a second round, then I guess I wouldn't blame you for holding then. Yeah, like, there is the chance. Yeah.
Because then it becomes a risk reward proposition. So I think if you can only get a second round pick, then yes, you hold because
I mean
the upside downside becomes negated.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, in Pigs 3, he cost me a dollar.
House money.
I'm not really losing it. Yes, I lost the equity, but it didn't cost me out of my
pocket. Izzy, we debated this on the pod, and I was for keeping Robinson for a late first. And then I kept thinking on it more and more, and I put out a tweet prior to the draft. I was just like, man, when you look at the picks, the range that Jacksonville had, they had three picks in that range of getting one of those top three guys. And then if not, they had a high third where they could have gotten, you know, I mean, looking back now, a Sermon, a Gainwell, a Carter, whatever. And it's like, man, it is the time to sell him. You know what I mean? So I came around, Izzy. It was just, it took me a while.
That's totally fine. As long as you got there.
What an exciting time for the Jaguars, though. You know, I think they got some excitement going on in their franchise. I'm going to be watching them closely. Mm-hmm. That'll be fun.
Well, I mean, that's part of it, too. I mean, when you think of it, having T. Law there with rapport with him and dumping passes off him and keeping defenses honest with, and again, like I said, if you can move Cam Robinson inside, potentially they're talking about it and put Walker Little at left, you have a top one, two, or three first round or one, two, or three draft capital on every lineman on that offensive line with Lawrence, with Visca, with Shark. I mean, I think that's a really good offense where I think ETN could thrive.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like there's automatic favoritism built in with, you know, Trevor Lawrence's, you know, what he's going to target out of the backfield and stuff like that.
And honestly, so. Now Robinson becomes a buy.
Yeah.
I agree. As much as people think I hate James Robinson, now is the time when what would you get for him?
Late second, early third.
I think second is probably what's going to take. I think the calculator right now has the buy sell line. I think the people that own him are probably going to want a mid second, and the people that are buying him are probably going to give up a late second, early third. So I think the calculator happens at 209 right now, 209, 210. And I think that's probably pretty close to the right line.
And this is why I wanted, why I was hoping we could get to a second round, because honestly, once we get into that mid to late second, I would give up a lot of those guys to have James Robinson, because if something happens to ETN, James Robinson immediately becomes worth a first.
Or if he's not good, like, you know, he's my running back one, but we're not guaranteed these guys are even good.
That's true.
Trent Richardson.
That's true. He could be. Well, God, let's hope not. Good. His name should just be banned.
Just to circle back, Izzy, James Robinson valued at 4.1 in the calculator is equivalent to a late second, actually. So probably like a 210.
Yeah, 209, 210.
209, yeah.
And if we were to get there, like the guys that you're taking at 210, I mean, these are absolute dart throws that we have no idea if they're going to be anything. Whereas, like, James Robinson has a pathway to being worth something and productive.
Yeah, he's proven that he can do it. Yeah, he can take the load. Yep.
I offered up Teddy Bridgewater to, you guys probably know Shane Hallam, to him who has Drew Lock in a super flex league for Robinson, because I have ETN, and like three late Devy picks, like third or fourth rounders, and he declined. So I thought that was decent because it had just both of ours, and I think a super flex Teddy's worth more than Robinson right now, but that just give you guys an idea.
Yeah, I'm surprised by that. But I think it's a lot of bitterness too. Like I don't think that people are gonna know that they could have got X and then they're just gonna sell at a bottomed out price.
Yeah.
I think you gotta wait for the sting to wear off a little bit
And right. then they're gonna, in a denial phase.
Then I'm gonna hit up Bob. And I'm gonna be like, "Hey, Bob, you want to get out now?"
I'm not trading with John anymore.
You should be diversifying though. If you have a lot of shares of James Robinson, you should probably cut loose some of them and keep some of the others. You know, like just to diversify a bit. So,
absolutely.
But if you got them, yeah, congratulations on hitting a like a waiver wire wonder. You know, that might have been one of the biggest ones I could see in the last few years, hitting so big. So, moving on. So the next pick is Izzy at 109.
No, 1 I thought it was 110.
110. Yeah, I got scribbled 109 scribbled out. I miscounted.
Yeah, I feel like this draft kind of has a couple tiers, three tiers so far. I think there's a first three, a next three, and then a three after that. And I think it makes nine. And I think there's now another tier after this. This is tough because I don't love any of these landing spots, but I don't think there is. Maybe they're not as bad as people make them out to be. I'll go with Devonta Smith here. I'm not a big Waddle Tua fan. I like Waddle, but I don't like, as Nick knows, I'm not a Tua fan. And I'm not really a Hurts fan, but I feel like there's something with Devonta Smith that I think will overcome a lot of the concerns that we have with size. There's certain it factors that certain players have that you can see, and I think he's got it. So I'll take the chance on Smith. What's nice about his situation is that we look at it as a bad situation, historically really bad for receivers, especially with Doug Peterson. Philly struggled with receivers. They've also struggled to have good receivers, or really, really great receivers, potentially. So I kind of like, and there's only Goddard now. Like, Ertz is going to, I don't know what Ertz's situation is right now, but I think it's going to just be Goddard there come week one. And then you have who at receiver? Rager? I mean, that's his competition. Like, so if they're going to throw for 3,000, 3,500 yards, I don't see how Smith doesn't hit 800 to 1,000 of that.
There's still J.J. Arcega-Whiteside.
Well, one thing that's I think is a little more hopeful that you don't have to put all of your eggs in Jalen Hurts' basket is that they have, I believe, three first-round picks next year. Or they have, because they traded down, they have, they have at least two the next 2 years. I think next year they have three. So, you know, if you're hopeful for Sam Howell or whomever else as being the next top quarterback, they have some more potential dart throws to either trade up or to get someone to replace Hurts. But the thing that makes me less hopeful is I don't know if they have new ownership or not, so I might just bow out of this one.
Oh, got him. Oh, man.
Pretty sure Philly's got a successful history of producing fantasy players for us.
Yeah, not so much receivers. But, yeah. I mean, I'm totally bought into the fact that it could have been a Peterson thing, but we'll see.
Yeah, so, I mean, I like Smith. I think 110 is he was going in the mid first. You get a little bit of a discount here because of Philly and the perception, but I think that could definitely change with Smith.
So a really quick question, is Smith, or I should say like past tense now, was Smith a better college prospect than Rager?
Yeah. It's not even close.
Okay.
Like it's not even in the same atmosphere.
Yeah. I mean, Rager had some considerable hype last year. I just wanted to see
hype,
like,
but
where...
It wasn't justified, in my opinion.
He didn't have the Heisman.
Valid. There's a valid point. All right, there goes Devonta Smith picking at 111. Nicholas Whalen, who do you got, Nick?
All right, so I believe Javonte Williams is still available. Yep. And I believe that's a good value because if you want a running back that can catch and can run and it's potential for some good volume, that's your last guy. And he might get pushed a little bit higher in drafts, I think, because of that. But his tape's good. I know the scheme was better. We talked about that because of Michael Carter doing well there as well. But man, that offense, man, they're not going to let the boxes get really, you know, heavy because of Judy and Sutton and Fant and Hamler. But man, it just seems like Aaron Rodgers is going to go there. And if he does, you know, you got to think that's going to help him out too. So you put all that together, a good defense. Denver quietly could be one of the better AFC teams, especially if
their
they get
Rodgers.
Their
line is still tough, though.
What?
Their line is still tough. Like, it's not – they struggled last year.
I thought they upgraded their line.
I didn't see – I didn't catch anything if they did.
They drafted a kid in the third round, that center, that got a lot of attention. His tape looks good, but he was a smaller school guy.
Yeah. I mean, that's not – I can't project a better offensive line with a third round center, you know? So unless I missed a transaction that was made, but
let me look this up.
Kind of why I'm lower on that situation, as well as Melvin Gordon still being there.
Oh, now he's a positive?
Well, he's a pain in the ass. He's always been a pain in the ass. You know?
I don't think he gets in Javonte's way all that much. He'll cut into his work some, but I think this is a changing of the running back guard. I think they know what they have in Melvin Gordon, and they want something more, and that's why they went for Javonte.
So here's their O-line. And the guy that they got there, Matt, is someone that is really close to me here because I'm in Wisconsin.
The Whitewater kid?
Quinn Marin is, yeah, which is like just a nasty guy in the middle. But they've Garrett Bowles, first-round tackle. And
he was there last year. Who'd they sign? Like, because Bowles was there last year, so who'd they sign?
Correct. Yep, Juwan James from Miami, be right tackle. Yeah. Graham Glasgow being right guard. Lloyd Cushenberry at center was a third-round pick last year.
Cushlash.
Dalton Risner is a second-round pick in 2019, and then they got Quinn Marinas. I mean, I don't think that's necessarily a bad offensive line.
So who were their new signings?
Juwan James, Graham Glasgow, and then they drafted Quinn Marinas.
Yeah, Glasgow's interesting.
Well, and Izzy, we're talking about systemic traits of NFL organizations, and I think that the Broncos always find a way to make their offensive lines good, so maybe there's that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, to me, they're just saying, hey, they needed, I mean, I felt like the Chiefs and them really upgraded their lines. Well, and the Chargers, which is awesome too. While the Raiders decided they didn't need one. But to me, you put that together with Williams. I mean, yes, Melvin Gordon is going to hurt him maybe potentially this year, but Melvin's gone after this year. And I just think that's a really good spot. I mean, plus, I mean, the other receivers, I'm unsure of their spots. I mean, we could talk about them, but I think this is definitely after Williams, almost like a teardrop for me.
It's a huge teardrop at running back. There's like one other running back I'm interested in, and then everybody else, I don't even care.
So speaking of teardrops, I pick at the 112, and I feel like there's a pretty clear-cut tier break right here. And it, just like Izzy said, I think there's more tiers in this rookie draft than there is in Bob Gilchrist's eyes when the Jaguars took ETN. But I think this is a pretty easy pick for me. So at 112, I'm taking Jalen Waddle. I know, Izzy, you said you expressed some negative concerns about Jalen Waddle, but I just think reuniting with Tua. Tua's biggest problem last year, obviously, number one, recovering from an injury, a pretty significant one, and maybe being a little bit slow to react and things like that. But like his biggest concern was he didn't have receivers that could separate, and like obviously somebody like Waddle can. He proved that when he was in school, so I'm excited to see what Waddle can do with Tua. And I think my excitement is two-sided. I'm excited to see what Waddle and Fuller can do for Tua. I'm also excited to see if Waddle can do something in that offense too. So definitely some concerns, but I'm more optimistic than most at that. So that rounds out the first round. We are kind of getting close to an hour here.
Let's try to rip through the second with just the person that picks, just making a quick statement and then...
Okay, so yeah, so that sucks then. So picking at 201 on the turn, I feel like there's a pretty big clear-cut tier break there after Waddle for me. I don't know how you guys feel if there's a big break in talent after that, but I would probably want to gravitate towards grabbing another wide receiver, but now I think I want to try to break the bias from last year. Like everybody thinks that wide receivers are going to break out after they watch what happened last year in last year's rookie drafts. I'm going to go... Gosh, you either go with a really crappy running back.
But why?
I want to try to avoid wide receiver, but it seems like it's impossible.
Okay, go Kellen Mond then.
I'll go with talent. I'll go Bateman. I'll go Bateman at 201. And I'm not happy with the situation, but I'll just hope that the cream rises in this case. So Rashad Bateman.
The creme.
So go ahead, Waylon. You're picking at 202. I'm going to keep track of all these so I can list them off.
Yeah, I'm gonna go Elijah Moore, wide receiver, New York Jets, just because John Bosch hates him.
I hate Elijah Moore.
At this point, I'm gonna put him whatever I can. So, Elijah Moore, he was my wide receiver 4 going into the draft. He was drafted highly over some other guys, you know, Marshall and Rondale, etc. I won't even list Tutu Atwell, but he went in front of him. But like I said, I like Wilson. I think he's a confident guy. He can, it gives me a little bit of hope there. I do like Davis and Denzel Mims, but no one has established themselves as an alpha. And if, you know, we want to keep talking about tiers here, all the tiers from AJ Brown just give me a little bit more confidence as well.
I was sad about Moore because I liked Mims a lot, but that stinks. Yep. Okay. So let's see. Picking at 203 is going to be Izzy.
This is the second round, but guys. This is it,
man. I think it's two players here. I don't know which one of the two I want to take.
Remember beforehand, Izzy, I was like, wow, landing spots are crappy. You're like, oh, I don't know. They're not.
No, I like both. I actually like both of these landing spots.
Are they different positions, Izzy? Is it running back or spot receiver? Both receivers.
For me, it's probably the same two
I'm thinking of.
It's Rondale. It's Rondale and Terrace.
Yep.
And I think Carolina is a sneaky good situation for Terrace, even though everybody thinks it's bad.
Why is it sneaky good?
I like that you're reuniting. I like that. I'm a big fan of that stuff. And, you know, it's DJ Moore and Terrace who are different receivers.
Robbie Anderson?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Robbie Anderson, but he's not going to be there long term. We're talking about long. I'm thinking not just this year. I don't expect rookie receivers to produce, especially if I'm drafting the second round. So if they draft, if they produce in year one in the second round, then that's free equity. But I'm not expecting Terrace to produce big numbers in year one. It's the reason why he's a second round draft pick and a third round NFL draft pick. Did he go in the third round or was he late second?
Late second.
So it's like, for me, I'm looking down the road. And I think with DJ and Terrace being the 1-2 there, I think that's really good.
So who did you choose?
I'm going to go Rondale. And it's, DeAndre Hopkins is probably the perfect, like, having Kyler and DeAndre, nobody really out. Kirk has been a massive disappointment. AJ Green and Fitzgerald are ARP card eligible.
They might actually be 67 years old.
They're the ones, yeah.
Yeah, it's bad. So it's like, I look at that and I say, somebody that's going to take all the attention and a way for Rondale to just work in space. And they're going to throw the ball around a lot. Kyler's a guy that's going to keep plays alive, and I think it's perfect situation for Rondale Moore. So I really like it, and I think a lot of people are fading that. Nick took Elijah, and I think that he really likes Elijah Moore, but for me, Rondale's in a superior situation. So I'd go Rondale there at even 202. I think I'd rather have Terrace over Elijah as well.
There you go.
The other thing, I know a lot of comments here, JP, but I can't help it because I like the draft. Okay, is I think a little bit of them not going running back too is what if Rondale gets some running back snaps, motions out, you know what I mean, and just go to one of those sets. That could be a little bit of hidden value for him too.
For sure, get some more touches. All right, picking at 204, Bob. What do you got, Bob?
I mean, that makes it easy. I mean, those were the same two that I was going for. So we're just going to go right with Terrence Marshall. I mean, everything that Izzy said was spot on with both sides of that argument. So
don't give him confidence, Bob. Come on.
This is another one of those tier breaks now, too, at least for me. Yeah. Like this is the massive one where, well, we'll get into it as we keep going.
Well, have fun, Matt. You're picking at 205.
I didn't realize I was this big of a Jets fan, but I'm taking Michael Carter. Open backfield, kind of the same thing I said with Harris. You know, it's a new, young, they're going to build around him. Give me the running back for the Jets.
I think that puts me on the clock then.
You're on the clock for two again, picking at the turn.
All right. The first thing I'm doing is sending every James Robinson manager a trade offer to see if I can get rid of this pick for James Robinson.
honestly, Bosh, these other strategies might be more helpful than the players you pick.
So Bosch is taking James Robinson at 206. Got it.
I mean, like, if I can get James Robinson for right now, any of these players left, like, I'll take James Robinson in a heartbeat. That's like, yeah. I'm looking at, there's a one running back. I do like to draft rookie running backs because they tend to hit faster. So, and all the receivers, I feel kind of the same about going forward. So I'm going to take Trey Sermon, 49ers running back. Let's see what happens. We're at this point, I'm just hoping for some production that I can flip and gain some value. And I think that most likely comes from the running back spot going forward.
By the way, Bosch, I'm glad you kind of brought that up. You were kind of having trouble with your pick here because of the tier break. But if there is a player that you're interested in trading for, like you want to give up like a late second, mid second kind of thing, make sure you probably consider doing that before the draft, because during the draft, people might realize like, holy crap, there's nothing really great left.
Yep.
So you might want to do that like either when the draft first begins, but don't wait until you're on the clock, because people are going to realize it's not a great a great selection. So yeah,
the 206 sounds like a really good offer.
Yeah.
Until you're looking at these players. Yeah. So I have to pick one more.
You have to pick one more. Yeah.
All right. This is a wide receiver for me for sure.
You're going to trade back to next year now. So you'll take a next year second.
I would definitely take next year second. I would. I would take a random second at this point. I think I'll go Amon-Ra St. Brown. I mean, I think he's got the easiest pathway to touches in Detroit compared to the other guys. They all at least have some competition. So I'm going to go Amon-Ra St. Brown and just hope that he gets a little bit more volume than the other rookies that are left. No real strong opinion over him versus the other guys that are left. It's literally just, I think he has more opportunity coming.
There you go. 208, Matt, who are you taking at 208?
I'll take first round wide receiver Tony. Giants.
I like that.
He's Henry Ruggs 2.0. I mean, fast guy, first round draft capital. But in this second round, we've already talked about how the talent kind of falls off. I'll gamble that I got a first round wide receiver in the mid to late second.
That's a great spot for him. I like that. Picking at 209, Bob, you're up.
Why am I taking all the tight ends? I'm going to take Fairmouth at that point. I mean, just... They have a need there for a tight end, and Big Ben likes to use him, and he probably has to use him at this point. So I think he actually can produce year one.
There you go. Izzy, 210.
No fucking idea.
I never heard of him. Where do you go to school?
Small school guy.
Small school guy, FAU.
Yeah. I don't know. It's probably a few guys here that you could make the case for, but there a lot needs to break. I'm not a big Dyami Brown, not a big Gainwell fan. Rodgers probably had the best landing spot in Green Bay.
Maybe.
Stevenson in New England, no thanks. I mean, I'm over the New England thing, and I really like Damian Harris. I don't know, guys. on the clock.
Can you talk about more players?
Here's what I'll say. I'll take Dyami Brown only because if he's there for a year with Fitzpatrick, and I think he's best just being utilized down the field, and Fitzpatrick likes to uncork it, I'm just not a big Dyami Brown fan. So I'll just take him and just pray that he pops and I can move.
Nice. I had two guys on my list that I was at peace with for this spot. I was hoping you didn't take one of them, and you didn't, so thank you. Well, Waylon,
I'm up. I might take both of them right here. How about that?
Oh, no. That's not good for me.
At least make sure you name both of them.
Yeah. We'll go through like that. The other one, well, I'll just name two that I'm not going to take just because, you know, this is probably what this show is apparently. And Izzy named off everyone else. I think Nico Collins is a decent gamble because Houston doesn't have a lot there. And Dwayne Eskridge, I mean, he's a playmaker, and I know they got two good receivers, but, they don't have a lot else. So it might be someone else that's interesting. I'm going to pivot and go quarterback Davis Mills because they traded up for him. This is a super flex league. I think that Watson is gone. They are desperate. They traded up and they had no picks and they got Davis Mills. So let's gamble on a guy that used to be a five-star prospect with low floor, high ceiling. And this is a quarterback league, so I can get him. If he starts, then I can flip him.
I like that pick a lot. I was wondering if he would get addressed, and I'm glad that he did. It felt too rich for me to take him where I was picking, but I definitely looked at him.
I like that. So I think Trask probably has more value maybe, but I think his ceiling just isn't as high. He feels like a backup quarterback to me, but we'll see. We'll see how that pans out. I don't think it doesn't seem to be the heir apparent to Tom Brady, but time will tell if Tom Brady ever leaves.
I mean, they did ask him before they drafted him, unlike Green Bay. So the respect, you know.
There you go.
I'm going to take any shot at Green Bay, by the way. If you're wondering, look at my Twitter. You're welcome.
So, Bosch, to answer your question, I will list the two guys that I was at peace with taking here. One was the Amari Rodgers. It's landing spot based. Like, they just don't have anything else. Like, I've been hunting for a wide receiver, too, in Green Bay for, like, 3 years. I don't know if you guys have ever seen any of my tweets, but I'm waiting for one of them to break out, and they just never have. And I think this Amari Rodgers has the opportunity to do it, so I'm taking the opportunity this late in the second round pick. And my other guy that I had in reserve was Chuba Hubbard. Like, is Christian McCaffrey injury prone? ? I don't know. Probably not. Like, he was really banged up and he was very productive. And like, Mike Davis was super productive, like, for a backup in that offense. I'd be super happy with having Chuba Hubbard and maybe holding the Christian McCaffrey owner for ransom, you know, and just try to get something better than what I've got. Because Chuba's talented, you know, arguably.
It's
not
Chuba.
Like first round talent, but. What's
it's
that?
Chuba. It's Chuba.
Ryan's Chuba. Chuba. I'll always say Chuba Hubbard.
Just letting you know. Hey, do you care about Amari Rodgers if Aaron Rodgers is not back?
Of course.
No, it's a legit question. You know?
No, of course.
I mean, they'll have a quarterback, but it's definitely light. It makes
They drafted Aaron's cousin for a reason. You know what I mean? They brought
to force,
in family.
To force Aaron to wear
a jersey
with his name.
They have Jordan Love there, don't they? Remember first round pick last year. Yeah. They've got their future quarterback.
Third string quarterback last year, Jordan Love.
Oh, boy. Awkward. And that rounds out our draft. I was going to recap, but spitting off 24 names doesn't sound to be incredibly appealing to me. So
the people want it, JP. Give it to
them.
Do
the people want it? Give
they
the
do.
What they want?
I got a tweet about it.
Okay, 101, Lawrence, followed by Fields, Lance, Pitts at 104. 105 was Wilson. 106, Mack. 107, Jamar Chase. 108, Najee Harris. ETN at 109. Devonta Smith at 110. Williams at 111. That's Javonte Williams, right, Waylon? 111. I took Waddle at 12 at 201, starting off the second round. Bateman. Elijah Moore at 202. 203 was Rondale Moore, so back-to-back Moores. 204, Michael... I got my notes mixed up. Marshall. Yeah, Terrence Marshall was. Yep, Harris. Terrence Marshall was taken at 204. 205, Carter. That's Michael Carter. That's where I have my notes mixed up. 206, Bosch took Sermon, followed by St. Brown. I'm on Ross St. Brown. 208, Tony. Like that pick. That's a sleeper for me. 209, is it Vermouth?
Friermuth.
Friermuth. Deami Brown at 210, 211 Mills, and then 212 Amari Rodgers. Or Chuba Hubbard. Chuba Hubbard. Why isn't it Chuba Hubbard then? That's stupid.
Why
like
does
literally
Mercedes-
the same like grammatical rules, you know, like they have the same letters following the vowel.
Doesn't he have two B's and one two B's in one of them and one.
Okay, that's where I'm at then. GP, oh, yeah, Chuba has one B. There it is.
Yeah, Chuba
why
has
does
one
Mercedes
B.
have three different pronunciations of E?
That's valid. That's valid. I hate it. Chuba Hubbard. All right. That is the two-round rookie mock post-NFL draft. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you learned some things strategically in which players we're taking here. This could change, you know, tomorrow, by the way. There's a lot of things that are still in flux. So, like Aaron Rodgers going to Denver, that's not happening.
That is landscape shifting for fantasy. I mean, like,
it is, yeah.
That changes the value of every Denver Bronco if that were to happen.
And every Packer.
Yeah, and every Packer too. But I mean, like, the Denver Bronco guys just, they skyrocket.
Yeah, so maybe start buying some Cortland Sutton right now and Jerry Jeudy.
It's a great idea anyway.
Noah Fant over Kyle Pitts.
Fant, yeah.
Noah Fant over Pitts. There you go. Yep. Tight end one.
Hey, I love Fant. If Fant had a quarterback, I'd love him even more. I love there you go. Fant too.
Well, thank you to all our guests for joining once again. John Bosch, Matt Renshaw, Bob Gilchrist. You can find them on Twitter. Just search their names. I was going to give their handles, but just search their names. You'll find them. That's pretty easy. But if you search for Whalen's name, make sure you throw the underscore first because it's at underscore Nick Whalen. That's the trick. Don't search for Izzy. You can find me on Twitter at FF Hercules. The main handle at FF Dynasty Trades. Make sure you check out our website, dynastytradecalculator.com. Thank you for listening. We'll see you guys next week. Bye. I know the anatomy, though, a valuable rose is dandy to know the man, JPAZ. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go.